Welcome back to another edition of Unleashed Athletics. My name is Brian Bond. I am your host, and today is the day. We have finally gotten here. After 12 episodes of just hearing my voice, which if you like hearing my voice, you get to hear it some more. But today is the day where we finally bring in a guest. And our guest today is none other than Justin Dillard, a good friend of mine who I met through the baseball world. And what we really wanted to do was bring Justin on today and talk about his illustrious career through baseball, both the high school world and the college world. Justin has an experience that is unique and special at the same time. And really, for you guys as guests or listeners today, I want you to be able to walk away being more informed of what college is like, understanding even the best have decisions to make along the way. And then finally, that great friendships are made through the game of baseball or any sport for that matter. So with that being said, I want to introduce you to Justin Dillard. I asked him to just give a brief intro of what his career was like and talk a little bit about the sport he loves so much, baseball. So without further ado, our very first guest on Unleashed Athletics, Mr. Justin Dillard.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for me today.
Absolutely. First, I just got to say, big fan of the podcast. I love your voice. You bring in the heart and the humanity and the sports when everything can become about winning and success and how our drive towards that will push away the humanity in people. And you're putting it back where it belongs. So yeah. Thank you for what you're doing through this podcast.
Thankful for the opportunity to be doing it, and thankful that you're a listener. I mean, I would be sad if my first guest didn't even listen to my show.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's so I'm my extent of experience in the baseball world now is through coaching my kids, my 9-year-old, my 13-year-old, which is different because a whole lot of my time, you know, prior to this has been coaching other people's kids. So, but yeah, no, I feel very fortunate. I had better experiences than I deserved. So I feel really lucky about that. I played high school baseball here in Colorado, got to win a state championship. Then I got to go to a JUCO, that was a place that like I'd always known about when I was a kid. You know, and seeing some of the more successful Colorado guys, you know, like Donzel McDonald and Todd West and, why am I flicking? I know his brother's name. But like, yeah, the guys at Derek Hines that went and played at Yavapai in Arizona in the ACCAC. And like, I got to go there. Like that was a place, like I wanted to be there and I got to go there. And then I ended up going to another school, finishing at Dallas Baptist University, which go Patriots. They're currently ranked number 10 in the nation. And yeah, they're just a fun part. They're a fun program to be a part, to have been a part of, and the way that they keep us a part of it as well. So like I said, I feel very fortunate to be able to go to the places I got to.
Yeah, no doubt. And for those of you that don't know, I mean, Justin's underselling it a little bit here, but Yavapai was the cream of the crop when it came to junior colleges. Division I programs would avoid playing them because they were afraid to lose to a junior college team. And they had this name behind them of, if you weren't sure or if you thought that you could potentially be a top recruit in the game of baseball, that was the spot to be. And Justin was there during the pinnacle of Yavapai. And so don't let him undersell you. And then as he already said it, but DBU just killing it year after year right now, really making an unbelievable name for themselves. And what was once called Duffel Bag University, DBU, is now really known as a top baseball school in the nation. And so, again, Justin has a pretty fun career to look at. But Justin, let's get into it a little bit, because you end up going to a different high school late in your high school days, and you end up winning a state championship, and you kind of knew that you were going to win a state championship when you went there. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, mainly because this is before some transfer rules were put into place. But like, I think 7 out of our 9 starters were all transfers, and we played fall ball and summer ball through clubs together. So we knew that we were where we stood as far as talent in the state. And then we just decided, hey, we should just all go to the same place. And lo and behold, we were able to have some success there. So,
and what an important point to make to that. When you stay together, how important is that chemistry connection that you guys experienced?
Oh, yeah, one, the chemistry, but it's also the coming through the shared experiences. Like, we've traveled around the country and we played top competition. And I mean, things have changed a lot now where there's so many academies and stuff. Like, yeah, there are good ones and elite ones and everything else, but all in all, it's way more depleted and, you know, spread out than it used to be. So, yeah, we knew that. So, yeah, we went in with an expectation to win. And our biggest rival, both conference rival, and we played them in the state championship, Cherry Creek. It's a massive program, a big school. And, like, but we knew all those guys, too. So, like, we, yeah, it was a lot of fun knowing who your competition is personally, as well as athletically, and just absolutely getting after each other.
So you get in there, you do your business, and I don't mean to short term this, but like you go win a state championship right away, and you have some decisions to make. You're ready to go to college, and you're a good baseball player. And so what went through your mind as you went through that? How did you go through Yavapai is going to be first stop for Justin Dillard?
So it was hard because really at the time, like I was a catcher. I was an undersized catcher. So I felt like a lot of the guys that I was playing with and against, and that we were at the same level, were getting opportunities because, you know, their size or whatever, their body type for their position or whatever it was. So it's like I was really battling with my own identity, and ego is a huge part of where I'm gonna go. And, you know, so I know I looked at a few schools. I didn't know that any place I really would want to go to had any interest in me. So I was even considering, you know, like just going to a, at the time, Westmont's program was nowhere near where it is today. But I was looking at Westmont, but you know, even then I went and got to work out with the team again at that time. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't the level that, you know, I really expect, or the way that I've even come to know baseball by. So I was really conflicted, but then got to go down to a showcase in Arizona and got a few calls from a few, including the one that Yavapai's big rival. But yeah, so then that was the personal, I can't go to your school. And when Yavapai called, that was an easy yes.
Yeah. What did excellence mean to you? I mean, just hearing what you just said, I mean, there's a bit of ego inside of that, but also you had an understanding of what greatness or excellence looked like. How important was it to you and to the game of baseball?
It's a good question, because really, like, the prestige of program, like I said, I always looked up to Yavapai, because got to see the success they had, the type of players that went there, and then just overall what it means to be a JUCO bandit. And absolutely loved how not fancy it was, that it was just bulldog, you know, get in, get your work in. And it's not glamorous, but you are hard-nosed, tough baseball, you know. So for me to see that, that was a big deal for me, because once I got there and realized how much work it really is. I mean, there are times I'm like, what am I doing? You know, like, I'm tired. Well, and then saw it a month into my freshman year. So I'm in a different state. 9/11 occurs. So, I mean, there's just a lot going on in the world. I'm like, what am I doing here? But at Yavapai, if you've ever been to the field, there's a hill on the other side of the right field fence, and they have, like, in big concrete painted letters, Yavapai spelled out, you know. And I specifically remember one time, like, just really being tired and grinding and emotionally weak. And we're warming up and stretching, and I'm on the ground stretching, and I turn and I look and I see Yavapai on the hill, and I'm like, I'm a Yavapai. You know, like, bootstrap it a little bit. You're here because it's tough baseball, so be tough. You know, so it was finding a program that maybe not even so much fit into who I was, but who I wanted to be. Like, that's the kind of guy, the player that I wanted to be. So that was the program for me.
Man, that's well said too. Couple things you hit on there. We're going to backtrack just a little bit. You mentioned it was kind of a bulldog school, and man, if you don't know what junior college baseball is all about, I will tell you what. I told Justin prior to the show beginning, I was terrified of junior college baseball. It absolutely freaked me out, because you would go and these coaches would sell you, not necessarily on their school, but they were actually selling you on how they were going to get you to the next level, whatever that might be. It could be D2, it could be D1, whatever that might look like. And when you hear the schedule that you are going to be on, it is daunting. If you liked baseball, but you didn't love baseball, you might not last the first semester in a junior college. And by the way, the academics may be, like, questionable at times. And that's not to knock on junior colleges. It's more so to say you're there to do a thing, and that thing was baseball. Would you agree with all that, Justin?
Yeah, that's what I loved about it. So, like, I wasn't a great student in high school, so JUCO was a great fit for me academically, because I got to go there and get healthy, like, really learn how to manage academics. So yeah, and I got my GPA to a place where it was respectable. So when I was ready to move on, so it was still a very growing experience for me, but I could also see, like, it's hard if you're like a JUCO type athlete, but you're a 4.0 student, it's hard to justify going to a junior college, you know? Yeah. So that's a huge thing, is finding how does everything balance out in order, for a school to be a good place for you. Because, again, ego will drive you. Like, I just want to get to the best, you know, named place. And that's also what I loved about where I got to play. It's like, if you're not in the baseball world, you don't know Yavapai or DBU. Like, you've never heard of that. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. But if you're in the baseball world, like, you know, like, those are two really, really good programs. So even, you know, because I went in and I coached for another, like, 14 years or something after I got done playing. And just saying, when people ask, hey, would you play at? You could always tell, I know who I'm talking to by, if you recognize the schools that I played at. But yeah, back to your, what was your original question? The JUCO being a...
Well, just agreeing with all that was said of, like, it is a grind, and you are there to play baseball. While academics is still occurring, it is not on the threshold of importance.
Yeah. In fact, so the schedule, I love, so we would stock up our schedules in the fall, you know, so it'd be a little heavier, you know, credit wise, but we were on the field from the first day of school through, you know, Thanksgiving break. And we come back and do conditioning for a couple of weeks, but then we're back, like, the first week of January, right back doing baseball again. Like, so we had, where the NCAA, they have rules on how many hours you're allowed to be on the field as a team. And, like, yeah, we have no restrictions. So honestly, that's where I got to go. I learned how to play baseball at Yavapai. Like, so they were about, I mean, I left there with an understanding, like a PhD understanding of the game, that, like, you can't trade. But when we come into the spring, because, you know, for non-conference stuff, we would do mainly double headers on Tuesdays and Saturdays. So we couldn't have, and we traveled. So we couldn't have classes on Tuesdays. Meanwhile, the school schedule, they only have classes Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday. So if we don't have a Tuesday class, that means we don't have a Thursday class either. There are only classes on Monday. I went to school 2 days a week.
You just enticed every kid out there to go to a junior college.
Oh, my gosh. It was beautiful. I played baseball 6 days a week, hours on end, and went to class 2 days a week. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, it was – once you get to college, it becomes a full-time job. Because they are investing into you. And that's another nice thing about JUCO is, you know, the money. It's way cheaper. So, and I'm really getting rid of the general education out of the way at a pretty much for free before I go into a four-year school. Because once you go into, at least in the NCAA, they only have 11.7 scholarships to spread out between the 40 of you or however many your program carries. So, yeah, that made a big difference too.
Well, let's go backwards real quick. You said Yavapai is where I learned to fall in love with the game.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me more about that, because kids today think that they're in love with the game, that they know the game, that they experience the game. What did you learn there that really made you go, I didn't even know what this game could provide or what I was missing within my own game?
Yeah. And I guess that's the hard part for all of us. You don't know what you don't know. So you know more than what you used to know. So you think you know it all. And just based on talent in high school, you can blow past, you know, and put yourself above people be just because of the gap in talent. Once you get to college, everybody's like you. Like very rarely is there somebody that just steps in and they're just a superstar from the beginning. Not everybody's Christian McCaffrey. but yeah, so that's what's hard. So if you don't love the game, I'll say it this way. Love always has to come before discipline. So you know what work you should be doing in the weight room, you know, in the cage, in the, you know, doing all the things to put yourself, you know, your diet, your everything, what it takes to be a high level athlete. You're not going to like all of that. But if you love the game, you know that that's part of it. So then you learn to love that too. And that's what weeds out a lot of people. It's like, man, I want to do that because really I found my identity, you know, in a sport. And now I need this level of program to feed my identity. And now I'm here and realizing maybe that's not me. And now I'm doing all this work. I don't know if it's going to pay off at all. And I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's not like in high school, you could have a super over the top discipline program. It's not like college. Yeah. You know, you can have your private hitting instructor, you can play on the best team, you know, traveling around in the summers, and you could do all of that stuff, but it is different, especially in JUCO when you get there and it is, man, we're grinders. Nobody is watching us, you know? We are going to learn to do it and learn to do it right. So with that much time, like us going through bunt defenses, base running, and understanding what happens in the game, your mechanics, your swing is not the game. Your swing's your swing, you know, but in JUCO, it's like you got to have a competitive edge to you or else you're not going to last, you know, you'll get literally beaten up.
Right?
Say that again.
That's on your own team, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't think people understand that it's cutthroat at the next level. Like,
yeah.
You're not just trying to better yourself. You're fighting for a position daily. And once it gets taken away, you might not get that shot again.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like I love reading books and stuff about buds, you know, and SEAL training. And because they'll get crazy talented people. You know, like unbelievable athletes, Olympians, like got people that should on paper be awesome, go there and fail because it's way more than just the physical talent. So it is, this is the work. Are you willing to do it? If, you know, and then with at least at Yavapai, the coaching staff was, I'm going to tell you how this is. I'm going to show you it. I'm going to watch you do it over and over again till you get it right. And then I'm going to expect you to do it. So if their game comes, I am going to absolutely blow you up because I know you know how to do it and you didn't, you know, and like, right. And that's fair. You know, I'm like, yeah, you've put that into me. Even now as a coach or even when I'm doing professionally now, it's like, I'm not going to expect anybody to do something that I haven't shown them and taught them how to do myself. Yeah. But that's what that was. We had the time to do that.
Well, and I think part two to that is, and most people don't think about this way, there's a coach's job on the line.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's not just about the players anymore. You know, you can burden a high school coach all you want and they'll walk away and they're no longer making the $1,500 that they make per year or whatever that number is. But you do it at the college world and you're messing with somebody's vocation. You are messing with somebody's livelihood. And so if you're not going to do it their way, get out, because they're not willing to risk their job just because you want to be a punk on the field.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, and I found that more out because I, you know, got to coach after playing at youth, high school, you know, and college summer ball mainly. And it is different, like, you know, even recruiting college players when your identity, if you're wrapped up into your performance, like, you know, you are default going to be as an athlete. Well, if I'm going to put my identity wrapped up in the performance of 19 and 20 year old kids, it's not going to go well for me. So in that world, learning how to, I need to go find the best guys, the right guys, and then get the best out of them. Like that's a college coach's job. Where probably more at like the Division I level or NCAA level, it's all about recruiting, not about development. Like, so we're going to recruit 7 shortstops and we'll keep 2 of them. And, you know, and we'll keep the best ones. And if not, we'll kick them loose. And, you know, so there's less of a investment developmentally, I think.
Yeah, I think you nailed that. It is a training ground more than it is a showcase. You know, there's a difference between the junior college level and the Division I level. That's for sure. Give me a quick summary of Yavapai and how you guys did while you were there. I put it on a tee for you.
So we did well. I think we won our conference. And when that's the beauty of playing in Arizona, JUCO baseball, ACCAC, everyone's good. It is so much fun to play. I remember even playing Lamar. So that year, Lamar Community College in Colorado, so obviously knew a lot of the guys on that team. They came down for their spring break, and I think they only lost 2 games that year, and they were both us, you know, and they were really tight games. In fact, I was the player of the game, one of them, and I didn't even log an official at bat. I got a walk, and then, no, hold on, yeah, I walked, scored a run, I hit a sac fly to right field, and then I, got a push bunt squeeze in, so I was responsible for 3 runs. So I was 0 for 0 with 2 RBI and, you know, and a run scored. But honestly, that's the kind of baseball it was too. It was like the little things or what's going to be the difference in this, you know? So it's just not going to, hey, we're going to be 2 heavyweights just throwing blows until one of us falls down. You know, it was really like, we're playing this out, like in the way that, again, we're playing the game. So yeah, which was a lot of fun. But, you know, so like Lamar, like we were the best competition they saw all year. And like everyone we played was like Lamar, you know, that's what I loved about Arizona. But yeah, being at Yavapai, having that kind of, just that culture of, you know, the JUCO culture, and we're kind of an edgier reputation of that. In fact, my freshman year, we had a bench clearing brawl that was not like most brawls. Like, I don't know how many you've been a part of. You go out there, you grab one guy by the shirt and, you know, there's talking and that's kind of about it. Like you go out there and it was like a scene. I felt like I was in like Braveheart. We're running out and there's people crashing. Like my sense of time went away. I had no idea. Like everything slowed down. It was probably a traumatic experience for me. But it was insane. And And really, it was 100% our fault, because that was the kind of attitude and edge that we had. And then we got put on notice, and then lo and behold, we have another deal where it was our fault and their bench comes out and we're like, what are we, can we go out there? What do we do? Because they'll cancel our season. But it's like, yeah, that's the line we wanted to walk, you know, that we're not going to get, you may win, but we're not going to get beat.
That's well said.
So the Yavapai just meant that to me. And hey, we're going to play the game right. And it was good for me, even though, like, obviously being size mattered, like I was, you know, referring to before, I was kind of an undersized catcher. And, but I went to Yavapai and I'm like, where do I add value if I'm not going to be the stereotypical, you know? So it's like, I, as a catcher, I still was top two and stolen bases. I'm not going to strike out. So my two strike approach, like I put balls in play. Like, you know, if I'm not going to be a as huge of a power threat as I was maybe in high school, I'm going to be a hard out. And I was going to be a base hit bunter. I'm going to make the defense move even if nothing's happening. Like you have to play me differently. You know, so that was good that, they showed me, here are your strengths. How do we let you be you and have that add value that this team needs? So that also taught me how to really be an actual team player as well.
Yeah, that's well said too. I think people want to be the same person they were in high school, and you can't. You have to be the person they need you to be.
Yeah.
The game's changed a lot. Small ball, you know, you going 0-0, like people would be like, he's not playing next game.
Yeah.
But today, like, if you're going to be the power guy, you better be a power guy, but you better do it their way. And it's something that kids are being taught the opposite of. Hmm. They're being taught by their private coaches or their high school coaches or their club coaches that if you do it this way, all coaches will love you. And that's just not true. That's not true. You need to be adaptable and you need to be able to be flexible. And I actually think that's the best way to get on the field.
Absolutely.
That person that can do it all, a little bit of all, you know, you don't have to be the best at all of the categories, but if I know you can lay down a bunt, you can hit a double and you can hit a home run every once in a while, you're dangerous. I'm going to find a way to keep you in the game.
Yeah. But
if you're striking out, popping out and watching strike three often, I have a place for you as well. And you're not going to like where that place is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. Like how can you be consistent, you know, and again, the value that you add, your upside, but also your downside, like how that is that playable or not.
And whether or not you can recognize it, you know, a lot of people don't love to recognize their failures. So if I said, Justin Dillard, during your playing time, what were you worst at as a player? What would you say?
I was a doubles hitter, but I hit a fair amount of home runs in high school. But even then, like when I, Yavapai, that whole league's a wood bat league. So like, yeah, I hit one home run at Yavapai. But I also hit like 438 my freshman year in limited at bats. And then I think 360 on my 2 years there. Because even then, a lot of the outs that I did make, they were base hit bunts that I was trying to base hit bunt that ended up being a sack bunt if they were able to throw me out. Yep. If they weren't able to throw me out, then I'm 1-for-1. I'm either 1-for-1 or 0-for-0. So, yeah. You know.
But generally speaking, I mean, you would say you weren't a power guy, right?
Yeah.
You had the ability to be a power guy, but they wouldn't have recognized you as a power guy.
Yeah.
Right? And that's my story, too. When I got to college, every person around me was hitting the ball further than me, longer than me, higher than me.
Right.
So I had to learn, like, how do I get two bases instead of their four? How do I get doubles that score runs every time I'm up to bat? And you had to change your articulation of what you knew yourself to be versus what you were going to be for this team. And that's what people need to be able to do when they go to the next level of, it's okay that I'm not this, but I better be good at these other things over here.
Yeah. Like you got to figure out, anybody knows what it's like to be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think, what high school doesn't do justice to some of the athletes is like, yeah, if you're better than everyone else, your private hitting coach tells you this or that. It's like, yeah, if I show up and I'm hitting, you can't take me out of the lineup, you know? And that's just at the next level, that's not how it works at all.
Yeah. Well, because they got three more that can do it too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. So Yavapai comes to an end for you. You have to start making a decision on what's next for you. How does DBU come into the conversation? And again, if you're just joining, that's Dallas Baptist University.
So yeah, that was a by accident, really. Just to give you an idea, there's several schools, some bigger name schools that I'm originally from Los Angeles. So I was talking to UCLA, I wanted to go back to California and play there. And UCLA, you don't have to be a baseball guy to understand. Yeah, I played at UCLA. And everyone knows, okay, I know UCLA. So I was talking to them. I was talking to Louisiana Lafayette, I think, which was right after they had gone to the College World Series. And I knew, the recruiting coordinator at DBU at that time was Chris Navinchu. So, and Navi's a Colorado guy. So when I was at Yavapai, honestly, I just getting, the recruiters call you, right, pretty regularly and just checking in and all that. So I like talking to Navi because we could be hey, you know this guy? Or, having somebody with some familiar, or I worked out with his younger brother, when I was in high school, and just, we played at had the same high school coach, even though he is older than me. And, but yeah, I just liked talking to him. So I kept talking to him. And then but at the same time, I had no really understanding of things. So I remember my assistant coach, he's like, hey, did you fill out that packet for Coastal Carolina and send it back? I'm like, nah, I haven't yet. He's like, you may want to do that. What are they, D2 or something? He's like, no, I didn't know that Coastal Carolina is also this perennial powerhouse, so it's a lot of that was ego. Or even then there's some, D2 schools, some other places yeah, I probably could have had a really good experience there too. I could have gone to an Azusa Pacific, that's good baseball. It's a good school. It would have been a good fit for me. But yeah, I had extra visits to go on, because you have so many, I don't even know what the rules are now, but you have so many where the school will pay to fly you out, put you in a hotel, show you around and do the whole thing. So I had an extra one of those. So, and then Nobby's like, hey, I want to get you out here, look at the campus. I'm like, okay. that's a free little vacation. And went to Dallas. And once I got there, I started looking around and I could see myself here. There's a lot of things that I like about this. And so, yeah, it surprisingly kind of snuck up on me. I'm like, I do want to go here.
two things to mention there. One is relationships matter. And I've talked about this on the podcast before, but you had a trusted voice in your life, or somebody that you knew well enough that you could listen to their guidance and give it an opportunity, because it was a voice that you had heard before and you enjoyed. Yeah. That's super critical.
Well, and honestly, to the point of this podcast, like I said before, you bring in the humanity into things, ultimately, and I found this out now too, when as a player with your ego, I want to get to this level and I'll do anything for them to take me, and then I'll do anything to be successful. And then including trying to be something and someone that I'm not, where they're, talking to Nobby, going out there, I knew that he cared about me, so going to a place where it's like, hey, I want to go someplace that wants me there. So I've been passed over for, special projects here or there, now. And I'm glad I had that experience. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be on a team that does not want me there. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing on them or even on me. It's just that I want to be in the right place, not the best place.
That was the second part to it, I think, is your words were, I could see myself here. And I don't know if players do that enough. They sell themselves on the place that they're going, but they rarely sell myself to that place and say, this is my home. This is where I need to be. This is my home. And And so what ends up happening is you go to a school because of the big name or because they just went to the College World Series, as you alluded to earlier. Mm-hmm. And now you feel lost because you're stepping on a campus that doesn't feel like it's home to you.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
Yeah. And then you really are bending your own yourself and who you are to try to be a part of something or try to fit in somewhere you don't fit. Like, it's okay that it's not a good fit. You don't have to be there. You're not lesser by going to what you view as a lesser school or program. That's not always the case by name.
Yeah. Well, and it's scary when you do things like that, because your career can come to an end that quickly. And when it does, and you're on a lonely campus because it doesn't feel like home to you, mm-hmm. man, do you feel lost quickly. And not that I would ever wish that on anybody, but if you don't have that in the back of your head, you know, watching college basketball scares me to death right now, because you see somebody go up for a layup and the AC blows out, ACL, excuse me. And you mm-hmm. just go, is that it? Is that the end of their career right there in front of my very own eyes? And if we don't have that as we're making consideration of what schools we're going to go to, I just feel like we are setting ourselves up for failure. So to your point, that's really well said of, I felt like I could be a part of this place. And I was surprised, you know,
yeah,
pleasantly surprised that I stepped onto a campus that I never considered. And it felt like home to me.
Yeah. You know, and even now, as I think of just the kind of the MO of the two programs I got to play on, because they're kind of different, but that's unique to who I am too. You know, having that kind of, you know, in the dirt bulldog type, you know, mentality coming out of Yavapai, like, you know, I'm going to do what it takes. Like I'm okay that you're scared of me, because I will do things that you aren't comfortable with.
Yep.
And then going to DBU, which was a phenomenal, just a Christian school and environment. It was as a program, a very respectable, do things the right way. You know, so balancing, it was a good balance between those two schools, even though they're very different. It was a good balance of me. So that also brought out those parts in me that were always there, but like, that's where those places got to grow, you know, and now I'm a cop. Yeah. So now like, yeah, there's a rough, you know, edgy physicality to it, but then there's also I care about people. And it's both. So, yeah. So it wasn't an accident.
Well, and I think it's fun that you have that switch. So some people don't know how to control the switch. They're always on in their bulldog mentality all the time, because that's what they were ingrained as a kid. And mm-hmm. being able to flip the switch off and go back to like a loving, caring, kind, generous, whatever person you're supposed to be. That's important that you have that switch, and it's not just always, I got to win at all costs, no matter what, and everything I do all the time. And it's like, man, having that switch is important. It sounds like you got that out of the two opportunities that you got. One where it's, we're going to do this for 100 hours a week. And then the other one that says, no, we're going to be very good at what we do, but we're going to put some rules and some behaviors around that. That mm-hmm. is going to allow you to become the human that we need you to be.
Oh my gosh. Like when I got to DBU and we like early in the season, because as you can imagine, we were pretty chippy in the dugout at Yavapai. So although I was very chippy from the dugout at the beginning of the season, coach looking down, Diller, shut up. I'm like, oh, is that not cool? Okay. My bad. We don't do that here. Dang it. All right.
How do I get this out of here? That's funny. That's funny. So you end up going to DBU, and, you know, give the audience a little understanding of what the Division I level is like. And again, it's changed over time. I'm not saying it's the exact same thing that it is today, but
yeah, it's way different.
Yeah. From your perspective, you got to the D1 level after playing a grinding, really high level baseball at the JC level. Give them an understanding of what the Division I level was like.
Yeah, well, like I said, the hours limits and stuff in the fall. So I got there and I'm like, man, we're not covering, like it felt more like an evaluation than a development. in the fall. And you only had so many hours on the field. So like they need to be able to evaluate during those times, you know, so that was probably heavy scrimmage there. It was, and then the rest of the times you have individuals, like, you know, so you're allowed to have times with groups of like four or less, with a coach. It's not the whole team. There's more time you can do with that. So that was all mechanics and kind of skill-based stuff. So there wasn't a lot of like games, you know, strategy, you know, like I said, like JUCO was. And so, yeah, so it was weird. That was frustrating for me. It's like, I want to play. Like, I want to play. And I want us all to be on the same page and do it well. So it was less of that. But like I said, where JUCO lacked the polish or the glamour, like, yeah, the resources that you have, the places you get to go, like being at DBU, we played, and my freshman year, we went 44-16. We beat Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor. Like, you know, we were good. You know, like, yeah. we didn't play a slouch schedule by any means. You know, it's like, yeah, going to some of those programs and seeing some of that, knowing like the history of the guys that have played there before. And, mm-hmm. you know, so you get more of the, what am I doing here kind of moments. But yeah, it wasn't, the baseball, if you have a pie were a 4-year school, I would stay there because I love playing there.
Yeah.
You know, and DBU was good. I love the guys. I still, actually, the relationships I have with guys from DBU are vastly more than the ones I have at Yavapai. Because part of that too was we were on mission with something that was more than just baseball. So that's probably part of it too.
Yeah.
Or a huge part of it. But yeah, so I don't know, but it was definitely different.
Yeah. You mentioned playing Oklahoma, Texas, all these other schools. Were you prepared for that? Like, did the lights ever hit you too hot?
I don't know. I mean, going into some, it's hard not to be intimidated. Going into some of those places, or even now knowing like some of the people that we played against, like, you know, so yeah, there was a puffing of the chest. I remember we went and played UT Arlington, you know, and this weird dude gets in during batting practice before the game. And he's just like, I'm like, what in the world? And he's just a spaz of a swing. And I even said from the dugout trying to, you know, like, show my place in the world. I'm like, somebody is getting paid to let this guy hit that way. That guy was Hunter Pence. He was better than me.
My goodness.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. I get it. All right.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. Was I prepared for that? I don't know. But I would also say that having those experiences prepared me for what I'm doing now. You know, like, it's, like going into some of those places and you have your hecklers, you know, the student section, and they're there. And like, and really I was playing more towards the beginning of the Google era. So I step in the box, you know, at Texas Tech, and I hear my mom's name and something about their dorm room behind me. And I'm like, time. And I stepped out. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, they don't know my mom. They don't know my mom. Okay. Like, it was like, I'm glad I had that because, you know, now I'm a cop, and right now the state of law enforcement, you know, people will gather around. They will try to get a rise out of you, which all heckling, that's all that it is. And I know if, one, they don't know me, so it's not personal. There's no truth to it. And two, like, if I don't, the only power they have is the power that I give it. So my reaction is, you know, so the things that you let bother you, you things that don't make you. And ultimately, I think that's what a competitor is. A competitor isn't like guys that hate to lose and will do anything to win. A competitor is, no matter what is going on around me, I can execute, you know? So no matter if I have people here yelling at me, calling me, you know, whatever names, I still have a skill to execute, and that's either going to distract me or I'm going to let it go.
Yeah. And I would say, with the world being as different as it is with social media and everything else,
sure,
if you let that live in you at all, you will be eaten alive by the game, whatever game, doesn't matter. So I think you make a really powerful point of, like, don't give your power away. Don't give your control away. Make sure you're holding on to that, because that's the one thing you got when things get hard. And that's really well said. And I think that is It is. It's applicable to being a police officer, no question. But it really affords you in any opportunity. When things get hard, how are you going to respond? And your response will oftentimes be dictated by whether or not you've given your control away. So that's a really powerful moment in this. So well said to that.
Yeah. And I have, honestly, you know, NCAA athletics to thank for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people still need to understand that it is a game, but the lessons that you're going to learn during them, and it might not even be during. You might have found this out afterwards, that if it wasn't for these things, I was able to look back at these moments and remember X, Y, and Z, and not let those things offend me or whatever that might be. But these games teach so much, and I think when we allow outside things to get in the way, it can really take away from the lessons that are right in front of us.
Yeah. So, or even then, our own ego and what we view as success at the time, how that will rob you of those same things.
Yeah. That's really good. Key takeaways for the audience from your perspective. So what is your favorite part of being a part of college baseball? What is the thing that you would tell the audience of, like, don't miss out on this?
Don't miss out on being a part of the program. Like, what is this program about? Because whatever that is, I want to fit it, and I want to be the poster child of it. You know, so that is in my control, no matter of talent or not, to go there and just really, and I wouldn't have thought of it this way at the time. Like I said, even the balance between the culture at Yavapai and DBU, that's definitely hindsight. But, you know, to the point of, yeah, I could see myself here as, like, what this place stands for, I want to stand for too. And I was lucky enough to find programs that were successful on the field. So I got to be a part of elite level programs. So as far as work ethic, attitude, all that, that doesn't go away. You know, you're training that. So on the other side, if you're choosing a toxic place, you're not doing yourself any favors. You're training yourself how to do it wrong, really. So yeah, find those places and then just really lean into it, because the purpose of you becoming the poster child of what the program stands for is so you can be a good teammate and bring the other guys with you, along with you, to get the best out of them. That's what a good teammate is. If you're in the right spot, then you can get the best out of all the guys around you. And you know you can't get the best out of them if you suck yourself. Yeah. So there's no better accountability either. So don't miss that, because now, you know, in law enforcement, you realize I was lucky enough to be a part of elite level teams. Some people never get that opportunity, and you can, and that shows, and that's not their fault. That just means in order to get the best out of them, there's a lot more work to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's so good.
That's probably more than a quick takeaway.
It just made me think that, you know, wearing the emblem on your chest in high school doesn't mean anything anymore, but at the college level, it means everything. Like, they stand in belief in who they are and what they do. And it's a forever thing. Like, I love looking at Texas A&M, and I'll be brief in this because we're getting long on time, but Texas A&M, they have their traditions as a team, and then they have a traditions as fans as well. And you throw two balls in a row, and you're going to hear about it. And you're going to hear about every ball that you throw after that. And they're going to keep chanting it through everything you do. And there's just something about a stable culture that makes you want to be a part of it. You know, no different than Apple, no different than Nike, no different than you name the brand that you love. But that same thing should be true when you choose a college or a university. You should be choosing based off of what you believe in, what you could be a part of, and how you could wear it proudly on a daily basis.
For sure.
That's so good. That's well said.
Knowing yourself, like, this is who I want to be. Is this place going to bring that out in me and build that up? or is it going to detract from it?
Yes. Final thoughts from you, Justin.
Baseball's fun. Baseball translates, you know, so all the things that I was fortunate to learn from a game that at the time felt like life or death, you know, for me, because I wanted to make it. Like now I actually go into life or death situations, and it's not the first time I've placed myself there mentally. Like I've been here before. So soak up those things, lean into those things. The game will go away at some point, you know, the money ball line, you know, we're all, you know, some of us are told, we're all told that we're no longer, you know, going to be a part of this game. Some at 18, some at 40, but we're all told, you know, so it's got to be about more than that, that will carry over. So yeah, you can live out really who you were designed to be.
Well said. Always a pleasure to spend time with you and hear your stories. Everyone has a story. Yours is just a cool one.
We're just out here making memories, you know.
That's it. I'd love to have you on again. One thing that audience probably doesn't know is you and I have done a lot of ministry through baseball as well, and mm-hmm. I think that is a topic that I'd love to dive into, but wasn't for this episode. This one was more about the college experience and what that was like for you, and thankful that you shared almost an hour with us of what your past has been, and thankful for your past, thankful for who you are today, and just thankful how the game has impacted you along the way. So thanks so much for being a part of today.
Yeah, thanks for letting me. Thanks for what you're doing through this podcast, and for any listeners that are still listening at 55 minutes into it, thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Can't wait for another episode of Unleashed Athletics. Thank you, Justin, for your time today, and look forward to another episode a week from now. But for now, enjoy the longest episode we've done and the first episode with a host and guest. So we will see you guys soon. In the meantime, go do the work.